You'd think that businesses, you could understand them not being confident coming out of the pandemic at the moment, but there is a lot of business confidence around, and Tasmania is leading the way. We've got the highest business confidence in Australia at the moment.
Yeah, the NAB business survey that they do, I think quarterly, again put Tasmanian businesses at the forefront of the nation with business confidence. And as you rightly point out, Martin, confidence is key. Confidence is king when it comes to business. And once we see businesses losing that confidence in their own business, then they start saving, and it has a dramatic effect on the secular economy. So good to see. I think Tassie's fared reasonably well, and I think we're in pretty good stead for riding this thing right out. So good to see that NAB report put Tassie at the forefront of business confidence.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I was a little surprised, because I would have thought of the hospitality and tourism industry relying so much on interstate visitors that the confidence wouldn't be high there. But I guess the locals have been getting out and supporting all our friends in those two businesses, those industries, because that's what the Premier's been asking us to do, I guess.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the administration aside, the vouchers that, you know, were aimed at that tourism industry, again, they get that the state government has got their back, as well as the federal government backing in a number of measures that were put in the federal budget around tourism, because it is a big part. I mean, it's 9.5% of our GDP, Martin, and it's going to be the last to recover. So, you know, it relies heavily on travel and borders opening and flights. So we get that this is going to be the last to recover, and that's why we're there to support them, Martin.
Yeah, and it's good that they're still confident after all that. Something that's not so good is the closure of the Commonwealth Bank at Penguin. I've had people talk to me about this. You've had people talk to you as well. Sadly, there's not a great deal we can do about it, though.
Yeah, and I'm sure that this decision was made in inner city Melbourne or Sydney.
Oh, just to guarantee it, yeah.
Yeah, just based on purely numbers. But what they don't get is, you know, the Central Coast community, they've done the same thing in Ulverston, you know, they closed a couple of branches there. And, you know, we're dealing with businesses that have a cash, you know, they've got a bag of cash at the end of the day, they need to go into the bank. We've got, you know, quite a number of retirees along the coast there. And again, they rely on that over-the-counter service and that face-to-face service. So I think it was a kick in the teeth. I wrote to them and I hounded them. I was of the belief that they were going to leave the ATM there at least, but now
that's going too.
Pull that out, mm. Not good enough, and I think, you know, I encourage people to vote with their feet. You know, I've approached Bendigo Bank to see whether they'd look at, you know, possibly putting something in there, you know, along the lines of a community bank. You know, the big businesses, big banks are going to do that to locals. I don't think it's good enough. And, you know, I'd encourage them to vote with their feet.
Yeah. And unfortunately, there's no opposition for the bank in Penguin. I think that's half the problem, and they don't care. The federal budget, of course, we know a couple of nights ago, and there was a few things announced before the budget. Once upon a time, we used to call them leaks, but I think they're quite deliberate now. One of them was $40 million for upgrading the Bass Highway between Devonport and Deloraine. You've noticed that there's 247 potholes on that section of highway. I reckon I hit 246 coming back from Lonnie the other week, Gavin, but it's long overdue. That bit of road's very patchy, isn't it?
It is, Martin. And that number that came from a constituent that was going down to Hobart, and he and his wife, they wrote me a letter, and they said they noticed it was bumpy and there were potholes everywhere. So on the way home, they counted them, and they came up with 247 potholes. But off the back of that, we managed to get you know, quite a bit of funding to do that particular stretch. Does cut across both Braddon and Lyons, but it does need fixing. And also highlighted to Michael Ferguson, and he gets this, and that's the quality assurance that we have on our road seal. I think, you know, anybody driving up and down the road listening to your show this afternoon would probably agree that we don't make roads like we used to.
No.
And you know, we need to make sure that QA, that quality assurance, is given, because these, you know, this is taxpayers' dollars we're dealing with here, we're building these roads, and we need it done properly.
Yeah, so, I think there's been a couple of instances on the Midlands Highway where the contractors have been made to come back and do it again, isn't there?
Yeah, they need pinning down. You know, we're paying good money for this, and we've seen a patch, you know, I was talking to Mayor Vickers down the West Coast. You know, I put $42 million into that road, and, you know, the surface is peeling up over the winter. It's not good enough. We want a good job done, and, you know, you look back to some of those roads that the old high grade built years and years ago, and they're still as good as the day they were made.
Yeah.
So why can't we make sure that these contractors, particularly the bigger ones, are doing the right thing?
Yeah, you did right. I mean, I travelled the road from Strawn to Zeen only last year after they'd patched it up, and already it's kind of starting to lift is what I'm hearing. And those 247 potholes, I'll guarantee they didn't get them all so when they were counting, so you'd think they'd miss a few, so there's probably closer to 300 or more, I reckon.
You know, I'll be on their tail, and I'd encourage people, if they do see a particular section, and let us know.
Yeah.
We can make a noise about it on their behalf. So,
you've had some interaction recently with Headspace, which is for youth services in Devonport. They do a fantastic job, don't they?
It's a great organisation. I've been up there quite a few times. In fact, I was talking with them this afternoon with a clinical manager up there. And, you know, we've put a stack of funding into Headspace in Devonport, and also a satellite, Martin, into Burnie.
Into Burnie, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, they were saying there this afternoon that they'll have five extra counsellors, fully qualified counsellors, in Devonport, and they'll have two in Burnie. As well as that, they're rolling out a vocational program which involves younger people from, you know, between 12 and 25, and it's aimed at getting them interested and you know, involving them in programs which will help them through their issue. You know, because this COVID thing is obviously, later on, I think we'll see evidence that it's having an impact on our younger people. When they see mum and dad, they probably own a small business or own a tourism business maybe, and, you know, that's going to have an effect.
Yeah.
As well as the uncertainty. You know, I've got a young bloke in year 12, you know, he's doing his exams, and it really does disrupt their routine, and you know, we need to help them out, those young people. So really pleased that we could get behind Headspace and put that funding to get those positions on the ground, and that they're over the moon with the increased capability that they're going to have both in Devonport and in Burnie.
Yeah, very timely given that this week is National Mental Health Week as well. And finally, Gavin, another thing that came out of the budget, we knew this was coming though, but it's been confirmed now, which is good. The Don Irrigation Scheme, I think it was ticked off on about 6 months ago, but I think the money hadn't actually been allocated, but we were told that it was going to be.
Yeah, no, that's a goer. And, I sit on the Standing Committee for Agriculture and Water Resources in federal government. And I can tell you, Martin, we often take things for granted here in Tassie, but we're the only state that's actively building dams. I did a speech in Parliament, about 6 months ago, and the stats were, out of the last 20 dam applications, 18 of them were built in Tassie. So I'm really proud of that infrastructure spend on not only dams but also reticulation. And we're doing a lot of work, Guy Barnett at state level and agriculture are doing a lot of work in Tassie about precision agriculture and how we can best use that water and how we can conserve water and world's best practices applied so that we exponentially get the benefit from that irrigation spend. So the average farmer that puts irrigation in, on a dairy operation, they can almost double their production through irrigation. So we're maximising the effectiveness, and we're putting some smart around it. So really pleased to see that Don Irrigation Scheme get up, and I'll be fighting for more money to build even more irrigation systems all up and down the coast.
When you look at down the south and the southeast in particular, they were some of the places that have had irrigation dams built a fair while ago, and the farmers down there reckon they're the best thing since sliced bread.
Transformational, and it takes the risk out of farming, Martin. Mm. Well, it gives the farmer that reassurance that if it does turn dry in the season, that they've got that water up their sleeve. So it's like almost insurance, if you like. And really proud of Tasmania, and we're really leading the edge when it comes to irrigation. We recognise that irrigation water is liquid gold, and we live in the best farming area anywhere in Australia, and we want to maximise that.
Yeah. Now the Dawn scheme's been confirmed. I understand that next year they'll start construction on it, so it's not that far away. It's not one of those things that we get money for now or promise 5 or 6 years down the track. It'll actually start next year.
No, we're into it. And that means jobs, and it means, you know, excavators and 10-yarders and trucks and local contractors and, you know, people laying pipe and, you know, poly welders and you name it, those local contractors will be involved in that. And you know, Irrigation Tasmania, they get that we need to use local contractors. So I think in these times, big projects like this can help us, another way to help us out of this this COVID-19 crisis.
Yep, absolutely. Look, Gavin, thanks for your time this afternoon. I really appreciate it, as always, and we'll catch up with you again in a couple of weeks.
It's always a pleasure, Martin. Thank you.